as goes the father, so goes the family. As the family goes, so goes the nation. And so goes the whole world in which we live. Pope John Paul II. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Micah 4:6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. You are listening to the Resilient Masculinity Podcast. Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. My name is William. I am the host of this podcast. Again, thank you for joining us. We are currently diving deep into our 3S series. We're about halfway there. So we first covered safety. Now we're looking at bringing stability, and then later we will talk about service. Specifically in our stability subsection, we have covered a father and a husband brings emotional stability, financial stability. Today we're going to talk about bringing spiritual stability. Then we'll cover societal stability. And finally, wrapping it all up, we'll talk about stoicism, how it meets with Christianity, how it doesn't always drive. There's some connection there, and then there's some button of the heads and what that means for us today. But this week, today, we're going to talk about bringing spiritual stability to your family. What does that mean? What does that look like? Let's get blue collar, practical, right? Let's dig down deep. We can read all these sayings, we can look into statistics, but at the end of the day, you and I, we're blue collar men, we're here to do the job, we're here to build Christendom here in this earth, we're here to bring God's gospel to those around us, we're here to make this world pleasing to God, right? Like, all that we do and all that we are is to bring God glory. So if you want to join me in that work, then let's get going. So today we're going to talk about bringing spiritual stability to your household. Have you ever seen a family where there was no rhyme or reason to things? Mom would say yes to one thing, Dad would say no to another. What were those households like? My guess is they were very chaotic. Very unstable, very unruly. When there's no clear guidelines, when there are no clear rules, chaos emerges. And we saw that extensively in 2020, where you had at least two different factions, two different kind of wars going on at the same time. You had the BLM riots, the Black Lives Matter riots, in supposed response to the death of George Floyd. So you had people saying, you know, police brutality, time to just burn it all down, time to, you know, we had people firebombing police stations out in Portland. You had CHAZ or CHOP or whatever, the autonomous zone. Right? You had that. And of course, if you looked at the footage, if you've seen, you saw the news reports as I did, right? It was not a peaceful time. It was not the summer of love. It was chaotic. It was messy. It was violent. It was brutal. Innocent people died. And then at the same time, during that same time, we also had tyrannical government lockdowns. We had police breaking their oaths to protect the Constitution by forcing unconstitutional mask mandates and vaccine mandates. You had the President of the United States openly say he was going to sign an executive order to force any company with over 100 employees to vaccinate their employees, or else, you know, those employees would be fired. So at one hand, we had this fight over what was and wasn't use of force for the police and what the policing are for. And then on the same hand, you had those same police also fighting over where their allegiance lies in terms of constitutionality versus politics. Overall, you see that, and what happened was 2020 was a very chaotic, messy, unstable time. In fact, we're still feeling the after effects, the aftershocks of that today. What does that mean to you and your family? What does bringing spiritual stability look like? First of all, it starts with you. And I alluded to this in previous episodes, right? If we want to raise self-controlled children, if we want our wives to be self-controlled, if we want those in our businesses to be professional and courteous, then we ourselves must set the standard. Right? But we ourselves are not the standard. We try to uphold the standard, but the standard was set even before us, right? We are also sinful. We are also fallen. So we are not the standard. So what is the standard? It's the standard that God set, right? So in your house, what does that look like, right? Deuteronomy says to impress the teaching of the scripture on your children. Talk about them when you get up, when you lie down, if you're going about the road. Put them on your heart, put them on your door seal. Put them everywhere. Talk about scripture. Talk about God. Everywhere you go. Here in Ephesians, it says, don't provoke our children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The actual translation would be the paideia, which is the Greek for admonition or instruction. Kind of that guiding force, like a guardrail. And nethousia, which is nourishment. Right? So bring them up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. So admonish your children in the Lord, but also nurture them, right? It's a correction and a feeding at the same time. But what does that look like? Very practically, it's going to look like your own daily discipleship. So reading the scriptures together, memorizing scriptures, right? Praying as a family, before meals, before bed, reading the scriptures, memorizing them, knowing them, living it out, right? Growing up, I grew up in a homeschooled household, right? I was the son of he got out of the ministry early on in my life, but my dad was a youth pastor, my mom had a missions degree. We were homeschooled, right? Like the classical Christian conservative household. And the best way I learned Christianity, the best way I learned how to be a Christian was to watch my dad. It was how he talked, it was how he acted, it was how he saw life. And that ultimately helped transform how I saw Christianity and how I accepted it, you know, early on in life. I'm not saying that my mom didn't have any pride in it, because my mom definitely did. But as a man, right, like, we set the tone. If my dad had been flippant about church, if my dad had not been grounded and steadfast in his faith, then we wouldn't have been the same. My dad got laid off in 2008. He had a raise freeze for a while. I don't know how long, but I know those were tough times. And he still trusted in God. Even when bills were tight, I know he trusted in God, right? And it was seeing his faith throughout my childhood that really helped me form my own faith. spiritual leadership, bringing spiritual stability. Gentlemen, ground yourself. Ground yourself in the truth of the word, because if you're not grounded, you can't anchor your family in this. If you are not tethered to God, then you can't bring the tether to your family. So you must be grounded first. And every day that looks like, you know, when you're working, just say a quick prayer. I've been in situations where I just, you know, real quick before I get into something, Lord help me, Lord give me strength, Lord give me the words to say, give me whatever, you know, frustrating coworker, Lord give me patience with them today. Dealing with an irate person, Lord give me strength and patience, you know, just quick prayers. Looks like reading your Bible. I'm not saying you have to read chapters and books a day, and no. Do find good reading plans, but be consistent on looking at your scriptures every day and meditating on them. For me personally, I've always found it helpful. Proverbs has 31 chapters. There's between 30 and 31 days in a month, unless it's February. Go ahead and start that. If you haven't started anywhere, start with one proverb per day. It takes you 5-10 minutes. It's really easy, and Proverbs is full of wisdom, full of practical blue-collar advice. And then serve your family. What do they need? How can you be the servant of your family? You lead them by serving, and then you serve them by leading. So what does that look like, right? Seen songs, seen worship songs, seen old hymns, seen the praises of God. Now, I'm tone deaf. I don't sing well, but I will still sing. No one else wants to hear it, but I will still do it. Love your kids, love your wife. Show your kids how God loves the church by loving your wife that way. Be aware of what's going on, right? Listen to her when she has frustrations and issues. Be that shoulder that she can cry on. Be that person she can confide in. Show them appropriately, right? Age appropriately, but show them a little bit of that sexual love too. Obviously, again, age appropriate, don't be nasty around the kids. But you know, as kids get older, give her, you know, obviously, I saw my dad kiss my mom. You know, wrap your hands around her waist and hold her for a minute. Like, show them good godly love, because this society, this world shows all sorts of perverted, sinful, lustful, just absolute degeneracy and shoves it out as love. That's not love. It's degeneracy, it's vile, it's abominable. That's not love. This is what love is. This is how a husband loves his wife. This is how moms love their kids. This is how dads love their kids. This is how we as a family love each other, and here is how love plays out in the world that God created. What is love? It is patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. You read 1 Corinthians 13. Boom. You be the example. You set the standard. If you have a temper, pray and pray and pray that God will take it away, because do not let your kids bear that burden. If you have a temper, you know it's wrong. You cannot hold your kids accountable for the sin that you also deal with every day. So, Lord, I've got this temper. Help me to control myself. Give me the self-control I need. Let me not sit in my anger and remember how much I've been forgiven, right? So then when your kid sins and your kid blows up, you don't go and straight blow up on them. You have that demeanor. You have the calm, the patience. Hey, Timmy, I need to talk to you, right? We can't act like that. That's not how Christian men act. Here's how we act. Here's what the Bible says. Okay? Love them, forgive them, help them grow. It's very practical, very much. It's a lot of it's just living life as a Christian man. When storms come, rely on God. Last year, I got laid off. And for those of you who have been watching this, been subscribed to the podcast for a while, you know that, right? I had a 5-month hiatus on this podcast. I have unexpectedly got laid off. We moved across country. We're now in Oklahoma, and honestly, that was a great adventure, and God brought us where He wanted us. But to say that was not stressful would be a lie, right? It's stressful to have a wife to take care of and bills to pay and no income. It's stressful to watch your life savings dwindle because the company that you worked for, who you gave time and effort and dedication to, wrote you off just like that, right? You bent over backwards and they still write you off. Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? But God is still faithful. God won't let you fail. If you follow God, if you follow Christ, He won't let you fail. Now, it may not look the same as you wanted, and it may not be as comfortable as you wanted. But at the end of the day, God won't let you fail when you follow Him. Again, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel, okay? We're not by any means rich. Monetarily speaking, we're not rich. Christians are persecuted, Christians are killed, so don't think that I'm saying, oh, you believe in God and everything's going to be hunky-dory. But in the end, we win. And God wants to see His children persevere. God wants to see His children strong. So don't provoke your children, don't be overbearing to them. Show them God's love, bring them up in the discipline and the nurture. Feed them spiritual food from an early age. Right, little kid Bibles, with the big pictures and Noah's Ark and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And as kids get older, you explain more. As they get older, you grow deeper, learn scripture, memorize them, sing songs over your kids, pray over your kids. Take them to church. Be active in your church. Did you know that if a father attends church, 93% of the time the family will follow? But if a mother only attends church and it's only the mother, the father's not in the picture, that drops to less than 50%. And for kids, and we've talked about this in terms of church statistics, right? If the kids are the first ones to go to church, then the rate of the family going to church is only 3%. If the mother starts going to the church first, if the mother it takes that initiative, it's about 45%. But if the father takes the initiative to lead his family and bring them to church consistently, being plugged into the church, being active in it, being Christian, 93% of the time the family are also going to be Christian. 93%. Gentlemen, be part of that. Be part of that. Let your family know. We're Christian in this household. Say with Joshua, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So as your kids grow up, kids, as Christians, this is what we do. As this household, right? This Betzelberger household here, we are Christian. And here's how we live, according to the scriptures. Here's how that plays out, right? When Bobby Bill over there is beating up on your sister, you fight him. You protect your little sister. Because God made you to be a protector of the innocent and the weak. rebuild, then later, you know, slanders you and calls you names, be the bigger man. And it hurts and it sucks. I get it. Some, but this is how we as Christians are. This is how we live. This is what God says. Right? But you have to be grounded first. Then you can ground your family. Bring that spiritual stability to your family. And that is part of our job. That's our job as men, because we're the head of the household, right? As the head looks, as we turn, that's where we go, right? If I'm looking over here and I'm driving, I eventually go that way. Same with spiritual leadership. Wherever I'm pointed is where my family's going to go. If I live my life as a heathen, then that's how my family's going to go. If I live my life as a Christian, that's where my family's going to go. How do we bring spiritual stability to our business? We'll talk more about this in our third S of service, but your business, your job, your vocation, you know, whether you own your own business, you co-run a business, you co-own a business, or you have a vocation, a job, that is service unto God. You know, we work as unto God, not unto men. What does that look like practically? It means we have a good, godly attitude about work. I'm a police officer. As such, as a Christian, I have a certain view of what the police are and what their job is to do, right? God ordained the civil magistrate. He ordains them as his servants to do what? To punish the wrongdoer and reward the righteous. That's how I see my job. It's ordained by God, right? The civil magistrate is a legitimate form of authority ordained by God. And what are my jobs? To punish the evildoer, reward the righteous. Now, here in America, how do I do that? By punishing those and stopping those who are violating your rights to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Well, life and liberty, pursuit of happiness, kind of that gray area. Your rights as enumerated in the U.S. Constitution and granted protection by the Supreme Court. And obviously protecting life, protecting property, right? Protecting life, you can't just go out there and kill people, right? That's my job, to stop them. Now, how do I reward the righteous? By not being harsh to them, right? Like, hey, you didn't do anything wrong, you don't get punished. And then also being that force of protection around them, right? You have the right to go out to the school bus stop and not expect to get shot at, right? That's a right you have. So I protect them, right? Protect them, reward the innocent, punish the wrongdoer. That's how, you know, I used to work in a warehouse. How do I serve God as a measly warehouse worker? Well, it's service, right? It's stability to those around you. You bring spiritual stability to those around you when you have a Christian worldview. Christian worldview of business, a Christian worldview of life. You get to be that counselor. I cannot tell you how many times, just because I'm a Christian man, that people come to me and want my advice, even if they're not Christian. I get counseled, or I get to counsel people all the time, and I'm not even an ordained pastor or a counselor, right? Like, that's not my profession. Hello, Buckley. Say hi to the camera. There you go. Oh boy. So, that's how you bring spiritual stability to those around you. You have, specifically to your businesses, you have the worldview of a Christian. You have the worldview of a Christian when it comes to work. And then you counsel those who want to be counseled by you. Obviously, you may not be the person they listen to, but if they come up to you and they say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I'm having a hard time with this, or you come in happy all the time, why do you do that? Well, here's what I would do. Here's why I'm happy. Here's why I enjoy work. So then finally, bring spiritual stability to our churches. And of course, this goes into church leadership, right? 1 Timothy and Titus both have the qualifications of elders, husbands of one wives. Their children are living in the faith and respectable. They have good rapport with outsiders. They're above reproach. We get more into that in those. Men, be strong in your faith, because we saw many, many, many men fail. Many leaders in the church fail during COVID. When they were Pharisees, where they added additional rules to the gospel. I know churches that wouldn't let people in to church unless they were vaccinated. That's extra biblical, right? That's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say you don't get salvation, you don't get the truth unless you're vaccinated, right? That created second-class Christians, and that's not right, right? We saw churches shut down for over a year when we're commanded to meet together as believers and meet together daily, even in some places, right? Like we see that in Acts 2, that they met together daily. We see in Hebrews where we're commanded to encourage each other and meet together. As, you know, don't give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. Men, if you want to lead spiritually in your church, that is commendable, that is good, that is righteous, be strong, be grounded, because you're going to have so many fights. So many people are going to come at you with slander, people are going to say nasty things about you, they're going to take what you say out of context. It's going to be brutal. And these are from people that are your brothers and your sisters, and it's brutal. Still, stand strong. Be that stability. Bring that anchor. That this is God's word. This is what he says. We're going to live by it. Should women be pastors? Should LGBT affirming lifestyle, like those who are actively living the LGBTQ lifestyle, should they be pastors? What does the Bible say? The Bible says homosexuality is a sin. And it says women are not to be hold spiritual authority or authority over men. So no, right? The is it Methodist Church, or I think it's the Methodist Church, or it could be Episcopalian. I think it's the Methodist Church. I think it's United Methodist. Currently is having a mass exodus and a mass, well, not even the Southern Baptist Convention lately with Saddleback Church, right? They're allowed women to be pastors, and the Southern Baptist Convention cut them off and said that's not biblical. So you want to see some nasty politics? You want to see some nasty backstabbing? Church leadership can be brutal. But someone needs to hold the line. Someone needs to bring that stability. Someone needs to hold that rudder, right? Like we're all on this ship, right? And someone's got to hold the wheel to keep the rudder straight. That's you, that's me, that's us. Right? As I read in the opening, as goes the Father, goes the family. And as the family goes, so goes the nation. And not only the nation, but then the whole world in which we live in. You and I have a big job. It's not impossible. God, it's not impossible. But it's hard work. Be spiritually grounded yourself, and then breathe and be that sense of stability to those around you. When the storms of life come, pray with your wife. When your kids are in trouble and struggling with sin, pray with your wife and then pray with your children. When the church you go to allows trans people to preach, you stand firm and you say no. When they try to fly that rainbow flag at your church, you stand up and you say, no, that's not right. Look at what God says. You're going to get ridiculed, you're going to get in trouble, you're going to get heat, you're probably going to get fired. Stand firm. Be men. Be strong. Be the men that God called you to be. And that's ultimately, that's all I can leave you with, is we're men. It's time to do our job. With the power that Christ gives us, with the authority Christ gives us, with the stability that Christ gave us. Take action and become the men you are called to be. I'll see you guys next time.